is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is T.K. Griffith, boys head varsity basketball coach at Archbishop Hoban High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Talking some NBA, coming off the All-Star break, it looked like your favorite team, the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, it's your favorite team, right? You pick them every year to win the title.
I did not pick them this year, Mike. You didn't pick. No,
are you sure?
I think you did.
I think you had them in the finals at least.
No, that was last year, Mike. No,
come on. All right.
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think I had the Mavericks in the finals or something.
Okay, well, that's not looking any better tonight, pal. Anytime you're getting taken down by the Pacers, it's not a good night for your NBA franchise. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. We'll talk a little bit about some teams, and I think we're going to spend a majority of our time in the West tonight, Mike. But before we do that, I have my win shares of an upcoming opponent for the Cavaliers. We're going to play them twice this week. The number two seed in the East, the Boston Celtics, Mike.
Okay.
So name the top five win shares in the Boston Celtics all time.
All right. So what's interesting here is that you clearly have two different eras that you could point to. Now, one era won 11 titles in 13 years, so I feel fairly confident that a lot of the win share list is going to come from that particular era. I'll start with Bill Russell.
Bill Russell's number one.
John Havlicek.
John Havlicek is number four.
Sam Jones.
Oh, come on. My computer's freezing up on me. Oh, this is not good, Mike. Hold on. Nope, Sam Jones is not in the top five. Sam Jones is number seven.
Okay. Bob Cousy?
He is not. Bob Cousy's number eight.
Larry Bird?
He's number two.
Kevin McHale?
He is number six.
Okay, so what do I have so far?
You have Bill Russell at one.
Yep.
Larry Bird at two.
Okay.
John Havlicek at four. McHale at six. Sam Jones at seven. And Bob Cousy at eight.
Man, who am I missing? Dave Cowens?
Dave Cowens is number nine. You're missing someone from my era, Mike.
Someone from your era. So, I don't know what your era of the Boston Celtics might
be. Well, I'm saying, I guess LeBron's era of the Boston Celtics.
Paul Pierce.
Number three.
Really? Wow.
Really?
That doesn't seem so. I'm missing number five now.
Number five, and he's from your era. He's from the.
So Robert Parrish.
That would be number five.
Okay. Parrish ahead of McHale.
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting. I would not have thought that.
And then let me finish out the list here for you. So number ten was Bill Sharman.
Okay.
Number 11 is Ed McCauley.
Okay, easy Ed.
And number 12. Oh, Mike, come on. He was a coach.
Casey Jones. Yes?
White guy.
Chris Ford.
Was the coach for Golden State at one point. Also for the Mavericks.
I got nothing. Let me
Don
think.
Don Nelson.
Oh, Don Nelson. Yeah, I had Don Nelson in my head a little bit earlier. Should have known. I had Don Nelson as I was going through.
Dude, Don Nelson's a good-looking guy. He wouldn't have imagined that for right, based on points. There you go. Don Nelson
probably is maybe as accomplished of a combination player coach as there has been in the history of the league. Lenny Wilkins, I would say probably those two, when you combine playing career and...
What team was Don Nelson drafted by, Mike?
What team was he drafted
62
by?
62 and 63. This team does not exist anymore.
The Fort Wayne Pistons.
No, but you're in the right region.
I'm in the right region. A team that doesn't exist anymore.
You're in the right region, in the Midwest. Go one state over to the west.
One state west, so I'm going to Wisconsin.
Well, you said Fort Wayne. That's Indiana, right?
Oh, yeah, Fort Wayne. What was I thinking? Wait, did I say Fort Wayne? Oh, I guess I was thinking Michigan. So I'm going to Illinois.
Yeah, going to Illinois. They currently have a team.
They do, the Chicago Bulls.
What was the team before that?
Man.
They finished... They only played one, or let's see, how many seasons was this team? I'll just tell you. It's the Chicago Zephyrs.
The Zephyrs, all right. I've heard of the Zephyrs.
He played for them in 62-63. Their head coach was Jack McMahon for half the season, and the other half, Slick Leonard.
Nice. All right.
I've never heard there of that guy. I kind of want to look at this guy. What is this? What does Slick Leonard look like? This is a deep, I'm sure. Well, he. Oh my God, Slick Leonard died like a year ago. He was like still alive.
All right.
Grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana.
I did not associate Don Nelson in any way with the Chicago Zephyrs. I would only associate him with the Celtics or with fish ties.
Slick Leonard is in the NBA Hall of Fame too. By the way,
there you go.
He wasn't a coach that long though. I'm impressed. Anyways, he won three ABA championships as a coach though, so I guess that.
I wonder if the Celtics win shares. They got to have the highest whatever their players have to be at the highest level of win shares. I would think.
I mean I don't know. I haven't looked at. I wonder if I could find a list of. Hold on. NBA all-time win shares. Let's see if I can pull this up. Okay, here we go. Basketball Reference, NBA and ABA all-time win shares. Okay. All right, Mike, we're going on a deep dive here.
Okay, the top five.
Top five win shares all-time.
Bill Russell.
This should theoretically be easy.
Bill Russell?
Bill Russell is not in the top five. He's not even in the top 12, Mike. I'll tell you the top 12. There are no. Well, there's some people that were members of the Boston Celtics, but not necessarily what you would equate them to. Okay.
Jordan.
Jordan's five.
Wilt.
Wilt's three.
LeBron.
Two.
Kareem?
One.
So I need one more?
You need number four.
I need number four.
Someone that was in the league of... Yeah, there you go.
Karl
there it
Malone.
Is. There it is. Four is Karl Malone.
All right, so I got... I took me six guesses to get the top five.
And one of your guesses wasn't even in there. That's funny.
I guess once you eliminate the idea that 11 titles wasn't enough to get into the top five, then it pretty much comes down to stats at that point. So yeah. It's not hard then to come up
so
with
the top. So do you want me to round out the top? Do you want me to round
sure,
out the
go
top?
For it.
Okay, Stockton sure. six, Duncan yep. seven, Nowitzki's eight, Chris Paul is nine, Kevin Garnett is 10, Mike.
Huh, interesting. I wouldn't think of him as having compiled that much.
Well, they were pretty. He was relatively successful in
played
in,
a long time
in Minnesota, and then he was relatively successful in Brooklyn. So, I mean, whatever.
Boston,
okay.
Boston, you mean?
Or no, in Brooklyn, he played for Brooklyn.
After he won a title with Boston.
I know, but I'm saying is he got wins
yeah,
there. I mean,
understand.
They got to the playoffs
yeah.
all those
right.
years. So,
right.
Number 11 is going to surprise you, Mike.
Okay.
Artis Gilmore.
I guess ABA.
Yeah. And number 12 is, did you say Oscar Robertson?
No.
Oscar Robertson's 12.
Interesting list.
There you go. So, I wonder where Russell's in 20. Russell's at 20. Kobe's
counting 19. Stats. Russell doesn't have a ton of counting stats because he didn't score a ton of points. So
Kobe's 19. Reggie Miller is 18. Mike, that's
see that again. An 18-year career scored a lot of points.
Yeah. So there you go, Mike.
There you go. All right. Well, let's start with guy number two on the list.
LeBron out for at least. Well, no, it's going to be longer than 2 weeks. They did. They said he's going to be out for 2 weeks, and they're going to reassess in 2 weeks. But they're expecting him to be out for a much longer period of time. It's just some of the Lakers' fortunes seem to be turning around, Mike. And listen, I want to be clear here. They were still competitive tonight. I know that I think they ended up losing by 12 to Memphis, but I just don't see, like, when I look at this roster now, I mean, they gave up 47 points in the third quarter tonight. That's what did them in. I mean, Anthony Davis, huge night, Mike. 28-19.
Five blocks.
Zero assists. Ja Morant, 39-10-10, triple-double. I mean, D'Angelo Russell being out now, too, like, not that he's, like, a game changer, but, like, at least
he's another scorer. He's another guy
another
that can scorer.
Shoot. I mean, you look at the roster, the starters tonight for the Lakers. 28 from Anthony Davis, Malik Beasley 12, Schroeder 10, Jared Vanderbilt, which by the way, what a defensive play on Luka inbounds. That was a good defensive play by Vanderbilt. Troy Brown Jr.? Troy Brown Jr. 2 points in 27 minutes. That's some Isaac Okoro numbers right there. Okay, but Troy Brown Jr. is not as good of a defender as Isaac Okoro. So, Austin Reeves had the worst night. He scored 17 points, but he was a minus 17 in plus minus. Yikes. Lonnie Walker was the best player off the bench, but I mean, I just don't know.
Is there any chance for this team? Is there any chance, conceivably? I still think it's conceivable that they could make the play-in, but I don't see it's conceivable where they can – there's no chance this team can win a playoff series. And I think it's debatable whether or not they even make it out of the play-in because it seems unlikely that without LeBron that they're going to get into the 7 or 8 spot, which means that they're going to have to win at least one win-or-go-home road game against another team that – look, I don't know if we say all these teams are good or all these teams are bad in the Western Conference. Are these teams good or bad? I don't know.
Who knows? I mean,
I don't know.
It's Mike, I'm gonna be honest with you. When you let's just go through the list in the East. I mean, what teams in the East fear teams in the West? Because I look at the East. Milwaukee. I would take Milwaukee over anyone in the West. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would take Boston over anyone in the West, correct?
Yes.
I would take I can't believe I'm saying this. I would take Philly over anyone in the West.
No, I would take Denver over Philly.
Okay. Would you take you take Denver over Cleveland too then?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying Milwaukee and Boston you would take over anyone. Is there any team other than Denver that you would take over Philly or Cleveland right now?
No.
I agree. I agree. Denver to me is probably the only team in the West.
I don't think Denver is unbeatable.
The Cavs should have won that first game back, and they screwed that up. I mean,
I think both Philly and Cleveland could beat Denver. Now, Denver would have home court advantage over both of those teams, which I think would make it tough. Denver's got the best home record, I think, in the league. They're 28-4.
The altitude helps, right? I mean,
correct. Helps. So I think that if Denver has home court advantage, which they're going to at this point against anybody except for possibly Milwaukee and Boston, that gives them a big advantage. But I think any other team, and I guess we've yet to see the Durant Suns, but even that team, I still think there's holes, and the idea that a team's going to coalesce in the last 20 games of the year.
It's not even 20, because they're down to like 18 or 19 games left. So.
Yeah. So then you also have the risk of Chris Paul going down in the playoffs at some point, or at least being diminished at some point in the playoffs due to injury. I don't think I would take Phoenix over any of those teams in the East. So to me, Denver's the only team I would take over any of those Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, 100%. And the bottom line is this too, like, the West is just I don't even know what to make of the West. And I know we talk about this often, but there's so many different outcomes that could happen. You've got from the 4 spot to the 12 spot is separated by 4 games. The 13 spot's 4.5. Obviously, Spurs and Houston are out of it. So it's from the Thunder to the Suns. The 4 to the 13 spot is separated by 4.5 games. Like, here's the Lakers, the bad thing about the Lakers, Mike. Here's their schedule. I just looked at their schedule. Okay, so here are the Lakers' schedule the rest, like the next 2 weeks. They play the Thunder. That's a must-win game for them. And I know the Thunder are without SGA, but that's they play them tomorrow. Okay. Then on Friday, they play the Timberwolves, another must-win game for them. Then on Saturday, they play the Golden State Warriors, another must-win game. There's lots of implications here. Then on Tuesday, they play the Grizzlies, not as much of a must-win game, but still, like, an important game. Then after that, they play the Raptors. I mean, they don't have a break here. Like all these
games. Reality is, it's like when you look at the Cavs schedule, the reality is that anything that you look at on the schedule, there's really only 4 or 5 games teams that you can be playing that you're like, oh, that's an easy win. Houston,
their next game against a team that they should dominate is the 15th of March, which would be Houston. Every other game is against a playoff team in the West, like, or a team in the East. They go back to back with, they get Houston and the Magic, but even the Magic, I mean, Magic are not pushovers.
Okay, yeah, you don't want to play the Magic. You don't look at the Magic on your schedule and say that's an automatic win. There's really only 3 automatic wins, and I guess now maybe 4. Charlotte won 5. They've won 5 in a row, but now without LaMelo, clearly. You don't want LaMelo going down, but as far as helping their lottery odds, it certainly helps.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit's lost 5 in a row. The Spurs have lost 16 in a row. The Rockets have lost 10 in a row. So those teams are all clearly made a push to make sure that their odds are the highest come draft lottery time for them to get an opportunity to draft Wembanyama. And then I think when you look at the Lakers and you look at this Western Conference, now SGA, I think they're saying it's his hip. Is he really hurt? Are they sitting him out? Are they making a push towards the bottom so that they can get another shot at the lottery? I don't know the answer to that. I think they would probably not be that disappointed if they fell into the lottery as opposed to being the 10th seed and had to go on the road to play a play-in game. So I think Oklahoma City is going to be a team that is going towards the bottom. But you look at everybody else. Portland, clearly trying to win. Dame, on fire. I don't know if you, I know you probably didn't listen to the Low Post pod, but they were talking about Dame's last like 15 games and his point totals in the last 15 games. It's just like, I mean, it's ridiculous. Obviously topped off by the 71 the other night, but Portland's clearly trying to win. New Orleans trying to win and hopefully, maybe, possibly at some point getting Zion back. Minnesota trying to win, hopefully, maybe at some point getting Karl Anthony Towns back. Utah maybe trying to win, maybe trying to lose, but they haven't really fallen off since their hot start. They've been kind of a 500-ish team. If they stay around 500, they're probably going to stay in that play-in. Dallas clearly trying to win, scuffling, trying to figure it out. I'm not feeling good about things if I'm the Dallas Mavericks right now, because when things don't go well, I'm not sure Kyrie is the guy that I want to be trapped in the foxhole with fighting through adversity. So we'll see. But clearly Dallas is trying to win. Golden State trying to win. Has Curry coming back? Has Wiggins coming back at some point? Draymond's been out. So I think you can safely say that Golden State is probably going to stay in there. I just don't know if you're the Lakers, who are you bumping out of there? Now, granted, the Pelicans, Timberwolves, and Jazz, I would say, are not great teams, but two of those three teams have a major star that could come back at some point before the end of the regular season. And Utah just seems scrappy enough that when I compare them to the Lakers without LeBron, I don't know. I don't have much faith in AD being a guy that's going to put you on his back and lead you to the promised land. I just don't. I think if he's your number two guy, I'm still a little nervous because of his injury history, but I don't know how you feel. But man, I don't think I'm putting my faith in AD to carry this team into the play-in.
I mean, he's going to get hurt at some point.
Forget about whether he can play, right? Forget about whether he can even do it when he's on the floor. The fact of the matter is, you're probably right. He's not going to be on the floor. So, done.
I don't even have to see it anymore. He's going to get hurt at some point. Like,
and the sad part for the Lakers is that the moves that they made, I think, made them better. I think they do have now some pieces that you could sort of squint and convince yourself that maybe this team could have or could do something if they were healthy. And they also maintained some flexibility in the summer because they only had to trade one of those number one picks, and then another one of those number one picks becomes eligible to be traded this summer. So they theoretically have two first round picks that they could work with. They've got some cap space. They gave themselves some flexibility. So it was really a big win for the Lakers at the trade deadline. And now it all goes away. And that being said, look, a big win. I know we talked about it last week. I'm still not convinced that even with the roster at full strength that you could automatically pencil the Lakers in, that they were going to jump ahead of all these other teams. I'm just not sure that's the case. But we talked about the threat of injuries, and obviously you already have one guy going down. And as you said, it's more than likely that at some point the other guy's going to go down too, especially if he's got to play 40 minutes a night just to get him into the play-in. That usually doesn't go well with AD.
Yep, for sure. Really quickly, I don't know what the recent – you've seen how many crazy overtime games we had. You saw that other the game the other day. What was the final, 176 to 175?
Yeah, Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox both went for 40-plus.
Yeah, so I saw a report, Mike, that the NBA is considering changing overtime. They're going to go to a what's that called? Like what they do in the All-Star? Yeah, the kneel-a-mending.
No.
Do you think that's terrible?
That's a terrible idea. I like the kneel-a-mending. It can be kind of fun. You always have a game-winning shot that's taken. But I like the idea of you have to grind it out, and it's a war of attrition, and that's how you win in overtime.
How about this one?
How about the play-in tournament games have an Elam ending? Would that be fun or no?
Nah, I don't think you want to mess with it. I think if you're going to put it in, then you put it in across the board. Regular season, playoffs, everything, or you don't do it at all. I don't know. I still think for the average person who's tuning in, I don't know if it's confusing, but it's just not what we're used to seeing. So to me, it doesn't add a ton. An overtime game already is pretty exciting. The threat of it going to double overtime or triple overtime, to me, that's exciting. Plus, then you get a game the other night where it's the second highest scoring game in NBA history, and you have guys putting up huge numbers, and you have Russ turning the ball over 7 times and losing Monk on the whatever, I think it was the last possession to tie it up, getting it into overtime in the first place. So I would keep overtime. I wouldn't be 100% opposed to the Elam ending, but I like the idea of let's just play it out for overtime. I mean, how many times does a game go into double or triple overtime that you really have to save guys' legs by doing the Elam ending? It seems more likely that the Elam ending teams could go cold and you're grinding it out. It's playoff basketball and teams can't score and they got to get to this target score and nobody can make baskets and it might end up lasting longer than just a regular 5-minute overtime. So I'd keep it the same.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious. I agree. I think the Elam ending for playoffs or for overtime would be dumb. Like what? I mean, unless they're really I just don't get why. I don't see what the benefit would be. What would the benefit be? Guaranteeing that there's not going to be like 3 overtimes. Is that the benefit?
And I think you always see there's always a game winning shot, right?
Yeah.
Because the team has to get to a target score. So your game is always ending. If it's an overtime game, you're always ending with a game winning shot, which I guess is exciting unless the team's up by 10 or 12 when they get to that point. So it's fine, but I don't think it's a necessary change.
Okay. I agree. All right. So speaking of changes, Mike, the Atlanta Hawks hired Quinn Snyder. Your take after he loses his first game.
Yeah. Not a good start for Quinn Snyder and the Hawks. I just, Atlanta's one of those teams too, just kind of like how I felt about Toronto the first 2 times we played them, where they were just played unbelievably well. Atlanta's just a team that, I don't know, when I see them for the Cavs, I'm like, I don't really like playing Atlanta. I don't, for something about it. And then they go and lose to the Wizards tonight. But I think Quinn Snyder's a good hire for Atlanta. You wonder, Quinn Snyder, obviously, great track record in Utah, a well-respected coach around the league, somebody that people think has a good grasp on X's and O's. Creative guy, has had a lot of success. Interesting that he took the job mid-season instead of waiting until the end of the season when there's probably going to be more job openings and maybe he can find a better situation. I'm not sure I'd want to go into Atlanta with Trae Young and the problems he's had with the previous 2 coaches, especially mid-season.
Did anything come out about what happened with Nate McMillan? I didn't see any reports. Do you think he was just done with it? And
yeah, I think it was a long-standing, just he wanted to do things one way and Trae maybe wanted to do things another way and it just sort of ran its course and they figured it was time, and which makes you wonder again with Trae having problems with 2 coaches now. And if you're Quinn Snyder, I don't know what you see in Atlanta's roster that makes you think that team is a great catch, that's the team that you'd really want to coach. I don't see it. Now, I think it was Zach Lowe again was talking about how the possibility that Snyder may have gone in and said, I'll take this job, but I need X, Y, and Z. I need to have control over personnel. I need to have this. I need to have that. I want all these things in place. And if those things are in place, I'll take the job. And if they're not, then I'm not going to take the job. So there was speculation that maybe he got a lot of things behind the scenes that he wanted in terms of control as a coach, which I guess makes sense, but I'm not sure I'd want to go in and coach Trae Young, and with the problems that he's had with coaches and the difficulty that I think guys, I'm not so sure how fun he is to play with, and the fact that he's one of the worst defensive players in the entire league. It's hard to build a winning team around a 6'1 or 6'2 guy who just wants to shoot the ball all the time and doesn't want to move when he doesn't have the ball and then doesn't really defend. Who knows? Maybe Quinn Snyder says, hey, let's see what, maybe we explore the market of what we can get for Trae Young. I know there was some talk about that heading into the trade deadline that would Atlanta at least think about that, and clearly nothing ever happened. But it feels like Quinn Snyder could have held out maybe for a better job, at least a better team anyway.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, like what jobs are going to be open at the end of the season, right? Like, there's going to be some more jobs that are going to.
There's going to be more jobs. Clearly, there's going to be more jobs open where you can at least look around and say, okay, I could maybe think about this or think about that.
Or I could say, or they could be like, oh, well, at least it's not Trae Young.
That's true. That's true. Or maybe you see something in Trae Young, you're like, I can reach this guy. Like, Trae Young is a super talented player. The guy can score. He's probably one of the craftier pick and roll ball handlers in the league. He's got obviously the mid range and the floater. He hasn't shot the ball extremely well from three, although he's come on a little bit lately. Maybe you're Quinn Snyder. You say, I can unlock this guy. I can get him to at least become a average or slightly below average defender. Maybe I think I can get him to move off the ball. And if you think you can do that, now maybe you look at the rest of the roster and say, okay, we're not that far away from building a team that can contend for a championship. I don't know that I agree with that, but maybe that's what you see combined with if he did get a bunch of things behind the scenes in terms of control of what's going on in the franchise, that could have been what was attractive to him, that, hey, if I'm going to coach the team, I also want some say in personnel and some of those other things. And if that's the case, then maybe it does become a better job.
Okay. I'm not buying it.
I wouldn't go to Atlanta either. If I was him, I would not want to be in Atlanta. Plus, Atlanta's always been kind of a weird NBA market. Feels like it should be a good market for some reason, big city. But even when Atlanta's been good, it doesn't feel like it's been a basketball town for whatever reason.
It's a baseball town, Mike. It's a baseball town. And they, Mike, I have to tell you this. This is a sidebar comment. They announced one of the sets of bobbleheads for the Atlanta Braves season this season.
Okay.
And it's the two outcast guys in a nice car.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
That's pretty good, right? That's good. That's
pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, my
I like
friend,
the way you I like the way you move, man.
Oh, that's not their hit. Come on. I mean, that's a hit, but come on. All it's right. Miss Jackson, buddy. Come
I understand.
On.
Get, all right. Get it's all good, man. It's all good.
All right. Anyways. Oh, sorry. That just wanted to tell you. I saw that. That was pretty cool. All right. So then the other main thing that I want to talk about with you is these New
Wait,
York...
hold on. Can we do this? Let's come back to the New York thing. Can we quickly in the West just give me who are going to be your top 6? Who's going to finish in the top 6 in the West?
Well, I think Denver, Memphis, Sacramento are locked. They're locked in, loaded. Locked and loaded.
I agree.
I think the Clippers are locked too. And I think Phoenix is locked. I think the top 5 are locked. I don't see any, those Phoenix and Clippers falling out of the top 5 or top 6. I'm going to say I think it's going to stay the 6 are going to stay the 6. I think the order might switch around between 4, 5 and 6, but I think the Clippers, the Suns and the Dallas Mavericks are going to stay there. I know the Mavericks haven't been looking good, but I just don't know, like I don't trust Golden State to pass anyone.
Golden State, which are you on NBA.com? I don't know if my – what do you have? I have Golden State in the 6th spot at 31-30.
I have Golden State in the 7th spot at 31-30. I'm on NBA's app.
What do you have Dallas's record?
6, 32-30.
32-31. They're in 7th now because they lost tonight.
Well, they're going to – well, Golden State's going to – Golden State's going to lose tonight, so it's going to switch back anyway. So
no, it's 74-72, baby.
Oh, my God. What the heck did Portland do? They were up by 20.
It's a comeback, man.
Is this on TNT?
No.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Rudy Tomjanovich, man. Come on.
Wait, who's doing anything for Golden State? Let me look at this. Jordan Poole. Oh. 24 points. Party. Did you listen to Simmons' podcast one over the week where he was talking about Jordan Poole? And
yeah, I did.
Yeah. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was funny.
Anyways.
Okay, so I'm going to say, man,
your top three are locked, right? They're locked.
Top three are locked. Phoenix and the Clippers, I think, are going to stay. And as much as I don't think very much of the Warriors.
Oh, my God. You just told me off the air that you had – come on.
No. Listen, I think Golden State is going to stay in that sixth spot because my choices are I have to believe in Kyrie. No thanks. I have to believe in the semi-tanky. Hit
arguably the biggest shot in NBA history. Okay.
Yeah, but no thanks. No thanks.
Okay.
No thanks to the Kyrie experience at this point. Utah, borderline semi-tanking. Minnesota, I'm relying on Karl Anthony Towns to come back and give me a boost. Okay. And New Orleans.
The Zion. Look, come on, Mike. I'm telling you. Man.
Okay. Look, he may not play the rest of the year. That's fine. He's still going to get to 250 games. Okay. Career, but he may not play the rest
of the
year.
What's he at?
I don't know. It's
like Zion high. Tracker. Is he hitting 100 yet?
You should just have that like above your desk. You should just check off games. Like it should be like a prison. Maybe just make an X every time he plays in a game. Anyway, I guess my point is that Golden State, I don't believe in them in any way, shape, or form, as I told you before the podcast. I just can't believe the number of people that continue to say, oh, this Golden State team, they could still win the title. They're still my favorites in the West. Get out of here. There's no way. A 500 team that's 7-23 on the road, there's just no way. There's no possible way.
Okay, how many games has Zion played in his career, Mike?
125.
Less than that.
112.
Well, just slightly more, 114. Okay. How many games did he play this year?
35.
29.
Okay.
What is Zion's middle name?
Mark.
Latif.
Latif, all right. Latif, I like it.
So,
Queen Latif.
So this will be in 4 years. In 4 years.
Well, how many games did he play this year? 30? Let's just round it to 30.
29, 20, 30, yeah.
So he needs five more seasons.
I'm not buying it, Mike. I'm still not buying it.
He needs five more seasons of 30 games a year.
He's on the Kawhi Leonard track right now, I guess.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, man. He's going to get to 250.
But I'm going to tell you, here's my question to you.
All right.
Here's my question to you. Are you at all concerned that he's not going to get
The answer to your question is no. But
You're not concerned at all that he might not get to 250. You think it's a done, you still think it's a for sure thing.
He's going to get to 250. What I'm concerned about is that he never has a real career.
Mike, he's not going to have a real career. I'm sorry.
Right. I agree. I think at this point, if you're betting on he's going to have a real, is he going to have a resurgence like Joel Embiid, where Embiid missed two out of his first three seasons and clearly looked like he was going to be dysfunctional for the rest of his career. And now, despite the fact that we still feel like he's unreliable and he's had some weird playoff injuries and stuff, he's become a guy that's been hasn't had major injuries since those first couple of years. Do I see that same thing for Zion based on what we've seen to this point? No.
I mean, here's my big thing, Mike.
Okay.
Those things for Embiid happened when he made changes. He got better when he lost weight. Right? Agree?
Lost weight.
Embiid.
Just go back and look at Joel Embiid as a rookie. Take a look at his rookie basketball card. He's unrecognizable today compared to what he looked like.
Okay, but I'm saying Zion's lost so much weight because they said that he needed to lose weight, and then he's still not healthy.
You have every right and reason to be concerned about Zion's ability to play a full and complete career. But like I said, if you just say for the next 5 years he has to average 30 games a season to get to 250 – He's gonna get to that.
Okay. when we're doing podcasts in 5 years, we'll talk about it.
All right. I just think he's going to get there. He would have to have some type of catastrophic foot injury in order for him not to make that.
Do you think he plays this season, Mike?
Yes, but I don't know that he plays at maximum efficiency, and I don't know that he plays once he comes back. I don't know that he finishes the season.
Like he plays like 2 games and then he's out again.
Or he plays 10 games or he plays 12 games, whatever. And then
if he plays 10 games, that's there's no way.
No, there's probably not. Could he? I mean, I think if you're New Orleans, right, you have to look at it and say, well, I mean, if you're anybody, can he make it through? I mean, he can't make it through a regular season. How's he going to make it through 2 months of grueling playoff basketball where clearly if he's healthy, he's their best player and he's going to have to do a ton? It's scary. It is very scary. But I still think he gets to 250. And it's sad that we're debating whether or not he gets to 250 because we've said it a million times. But when this guy is healthy and on the floor, he's historically great. His statistics are off the charts when you compare them to the historical figures in the game. And it's just, it's a crime that we're going to have his career shortened because he just can't stay on the floor. And he's such an exciting player. And it's just, it's sad. It's very sad. I do think he's going to get to 250, but if I was betting right now on will he have a quote normal career, I would bet pretty heavily against that based on what we've seen so far. And I don't know what changes to make that a reality. I mean, he got hurt when he was at Duke. He had injuries when he was in high school. He hasn't been able to stay healthy as a pro. There's really no track record of him. Plus, you just look at his body type and how unusual it is. Guys who tend to get injured a lot tend to keep getting injured. Embiid is a huge exception to that. So to go back to the original question, I think the 6 teams in the West are Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Warriors. And I think I'm going to say Portland bumps out New Orleans in the play-in. And so your play-in teams are Dallas, Utah, the Timberwolves, and Portland, with New Orleans on the outside looking in and the Lakers on the outside looking in. And Oklahoma City tanking their way towards the bottom by keeping SGA out with a sore hip.
I have a sore hip, Mike.
All right. Well, you're out.
Yeah.
What are you tanking for?
I'm not tanking for anything. I'm just kidding. Okay.
I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, I'm not really injured. I'm just tired, Mike. I'm just a tired man at this point.
Okay. So. All right. Okay. The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
All right. I guess the last thing that I have, the Knicks. We talked about the Knicks, and then there's one small other thing. Is that about right? It sounds about right. So the Knicks.
Yeah, let's talk about the Knicks in this context. So let me ask you a question. If you're the Cavs and you're looking at teams 4, well, I guess you're looking at teams 5 through 10. Let's rank the teams in the order that you would least like to see them. So who is the team of the next six that you would least like to see
Miami in
the playoffs? Miami's one for you.
Yeah. I don't want Kevin Love. I just don't want to go down that road. Mike, I just don't want to go down that road. I'm just being honest.
All right, that's fair.
Number two.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I think it's the Knicks. I they look good right now. I mean, who knows? The bottom could fall out, but I don't want to play the Knicks, man. Knicks.
Okay.
Number three, given what we've done against this team lately, probably Atlanta.
Okay.
Probably after that, it's Toronto, then Brooklyn, then Washington.
All right. I'm going to put Toronto one.
Yeah?
I don't want to see Toronto.
Well, I don't think there's any way they're going to get to the five seed, so we're okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I don't want to see Toronto. Then Miami. Then the Knicks. Then the Hawks. Then Brooklyn. Then the Wizards. Toronto just scares me. Something about Toronto. Just how they're multi-positional. And it feels like they have guys that aren't really good shooters, but could get hot for four or five games in a seven-game series, and all of a sudden you could turn around and be like, what? What just happened? And they got long defenders going against our little guards. I don't know. Toronto scares me. Miami, I know why you have number one. Obviously, you have Butler closing games, and you have Bam on the defensive end of the floor, and you have all their experience, and you have Heat culture and all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm just not as afraid of them as I am of Toronto. And then the Knicks. The thing with the Knicks that I guess if I was a New York Knicks fan that would worry me, and the thing that would give me a little bit of comfort or hope if I was playing the Knicks, is even the season when Randle had that all-pro year, which was not last season but the season before, when they lost to Atlanta, the year Atlanta went to the conference finals, Randle just came up small. And he feels like a guy that if you have time to game plan for him, and I feel like the Cavs have Mobley that they could throw at him. I'm just not as afraid of the Knicks. Brunson's been really good, and he would worry me, but I feel like the combination of Mitchell and Garland versus Brunson, I feel like the Cavs win that battle of the guards, as good as Brunson might be. So the Knicks are playing really well, and Brunson, I think, is averaging like 29 a game since the first of the year. So clearly that was a huge win for the Knicks in terms of a free agent signing, probably one of the better free agent signings in the last 2, 3, 4 years for the money that they paid for him and then the production that they've gotten, especially when not a lot of people thought that was a great signing. I think a Cavs-Knicks series in the first round would actually be a lot of fun when you consider the ramifications of all the talk that Mitchell was going to go to New York, and now he comes in with the Cavs, and it could be kind of a disaster for the Cavs, or conversely, a disaster for the Knicks if Mitchell were to average 38 a game and knock the Knicks out of the playoffs, or if you go the other way and here the Cavs have a really good regular season, they end up playing the Knicks, and the Knicks without Donovan Mitchell end up beating the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell. Could be interesting. So to me, that would be a fun first round series. I'd be excited to watch that series probably as much as any of those. I think it'd be fun to see the Cavs going into Madison Square Garden and playing on that stage in the playoffs. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. The Cavs, as long as anything else you want to add about the Knicks, or we covered it? Are we good with the Knicks? Are you good with
the Knicks? Yeah, I'm good with the Knicks.
Okay, so the Cavs, here's the week schedule. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on the Cavs. We spend a lot of time on them every week. You know, here's who they play. You know, coming off the win the other night, thankfully they whooped on the Raptors. That was good. They play at Boston tomorrow. That's a loss, right?
That's a loss. Especially Boston coming off losing to the Knicks. That's a loss.
Then tonight, then on Saturday, they play at home versus the Pistons. That's a win.
That's a win.
And then on Monday, they're home against the same Celtics team. That's a win. I'm going to say they're going to go 2-1. They're going to win one of the Boston games and win the Detroit game.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we are 2-0 against Boston so far this year.
We are. And Boston, they've been kind of up and down lately, and I think Jaylen Brown's still out. So I'd say there's still a decent chance that the Cavs can get one of those two, especially since you're one at home, one on the road.
So Tatum only had 14 tonight in 36 minutes. Yikes. 6 of 18 from the field. He's going to play well tomorrow. Just bank. Mark it.
Yeah, I would say that's a good bet. Yeah, that's a good bet. So I'd say 2-1. I'm with you, 2-1.
Dude, I can't believe the corpse of Blake Griffin is still getting minutes. He played 5.5 minutes tonight for Boston.
Sad what's happened to Blake. And you think about how athletic and how good that guy was.
He jumped over a car, man.
I know. It's crazy how much he declined and how quickly. It just shows you when your body betrays you, there's not much you can
do. And once again, it further proves how amazing LeBron has been. Right?
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
So
absolutely. I mean, I think this is the last week where you start looking at the Cavs and you start looking at the schedule and things start looking really, really good after that Boston game. I guess you got two in a row at Miami after that, which probably be two tough games, but you got to think you can at least get a split there. Weird. Again, they play back-to-back at Miami Wednesday, Friday, and then at Charlotte Sunday, Tuesday. So.
Well, that'll be nice back-to-back right there.
And that's a nice back-to-back.
And then, but then unfortunately, then they play at home against the Sixers on that Wednesday. Once again, that game's also been moved to ESPN, man.
Yeah. But then after that, man, the schedule down the stretch, Wizards, Nets, Houston, Atlanta, Knicks, Pacers, Orlando, Charlotte. I mean, you could look at it after that Philly game. I mean, you're probably favored in every game, I would think. Maybe not at Atlanta. But otherwise, you're favored in every single one of those games. That's the last, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, our last home games on Easter Sunday. Our last games on Easter Sunday, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you should be favored in the last 10. I mean, you could theoretically go, you know, win 8 of your last 10, 9 of your last 10 pretty easily, which would set you up, I think, pretty well to, you know, maybe climb into that third seed.
Why is there no games scheduled on April 3rd? Am I missing something?
Is that a Monday?
Yeah.
Is that a Monday? NCAA championship game.
Oh, that's it. You're right.
NBA always tries to avoid that.
Probably.
Anything else? I know we mentioned briefly the LaMelo injury. Too bad for LaMelo. Probably good for the Hornets in the long run.
Yep.
But the Hornets are a mess, man. That's a mess.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about was Jimmy Haslam by getting a stake in the Milwaukee Bucks, Mike.
Putting his stink on the Bucks. That's not good.
Well, someone tweeted or was talking about it. Oh, how great is it going to look when the Browns owner is sitting on the court side during the Eastern Conference Finals when it's the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be a good look. He might want to stay away. He might want to watch that series at home. But knowing Jimmy, I doubt that would happen.
Well, they're talking about new stadiums. Like, seriously? Like, what is this nonsense? Like, come on.
The Browns are talking about a new stadium?
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard this?
No. Where are they going to put it?
I don't know. They're scouting locations. They want to build a dome, Mike.
What are you going to do with that current stadium?
The soccer league? Put an MLS stadium game in
city,
there?
The city owns that, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they just tear it down and then try to develop that area? I mean, that's what would happen,
listen,
right?
I would argue for that, but we still have that crap thing that is Burke Lakefront that should be torn down and built and developed on, because Burke Lakefront's...
I agree with you. Although I remember, it's funny because now that newspapers kind of don't really exist, I know they still do exist, but in most of our worlds they don't exist. So when I used to get a newspaper and I would read about things that are going on in Cuyahoga County or in the city of Cleveland or whatever, as you're thumbing through the newspaper, well, now with all your news being found online, like, you have to actually go out and seek those things. And so I never seek them. So I kind of have no idea what's going on in the city of Cleveland or Cuyahoga County or anything like that. But I remember reading at one point that Burke Lakefront, because it was actually built on like dredgings, that you can't, like, you couldn't build like the Gold Coast of Chicago with all these skyscrapers and high rise apartments and stuff, because it wouldn't support it because of the way that that land was.
Well, I don't think you need created. To put a, I don't think you need to put a skyscraper though. Like, put some nice restaurants or something there. Like,
look, I'm with you. That is the biggest. You just look at the way the city developed and the way the highway is laid out and just separating the city from the lake. And there's tons and tons of problems. But certainly, if you could develop Burke Lakefront Airport and develop the piece of property that currently is the Browns First Energy Stadium, you would have the opportunity to totally remake the way downtown Cleveland looks and feels and operates. So that would be a good thing. Not that anyone who's listening to this podcast cares about the development of the city of Cleveland.
Speaking of other things that the people that are listening to this podcast don't care about, the SWC, Mike,
yes,
has a chance to have two girls teams in the state Final Four. Talk about that. That's crazy, right?
That is. Two teams from one conference is pretty good.
Yeah, because Midview was smart and they avoided Olmsted Falls, and they're in the Medina region, and Olmsted Falls is one tonight, so they're going to play in the they're playing Sandusky. So both teams play on Saturday, I believe. So there's a chance that there will be two SWC schools from Northeast Ohio in the Final Four of the Ohio State Championship, which
there
would
be
pretty crazy.
Congrats to both teams.
And you know who's the coach of the Midview team, right? Max Daughter.
Okay. Yeah, I did know that. I did know that.
Yeah. So,
hey, there you go.
There you go. So.
All right. Well, on that note, we will leave it there. And we appreciate you checking out this week's NBA episode. Please stay with us for our regular interviews on Monday and Friday. And we will catch you next week for our NBA episode. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies. And most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the portfolio guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.